Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Shout out to the Beasties. High noon in the District of Columbia. Excited to get on the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Talk to our boy, Mr. Ben Standig. You should check out his Substack as well as his podcast, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, Last Man Standig. What's up, Benny? How you doing?
JP, thanks for the plug. I'm doing great. Glad to have gotten at least a little bit of sleep since that. LA, so feeling better today, finally.
All right.
You haven't caught up with your sleep yet, man? What the hell? What kind of fright you have?
Not a young man anymore, B. Mitch. All this traveling is a young man's game. It's all right. At least the schedule is normal.
You young dudes better stop complaining about not being young. You're young, Ben.
I love the fact that you think I am, but I appreciate that.
Coming out of the Chargers game, where it looked bad early and they completely turned it around to win by more than two touchdowns, what is your biggest takeaway on the positive side and the negative side?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think on the positive side, it's almost not what happened in the game. It's what I can see going forward in that, you know, look, obviously Jaden coming back and playing an effective game, but where he was more, I've been saying he was more smart than spectacular, and we know he's got the spectacular, and I mean smart from the perspective of sliding when needed to instead of going for the extra yard, throwing the ball away, not always trying to make the superhero play yet still delivering when he had to. Like, we know he can do a lot of these things, but like, okay, good sign of growth there in year two. But then you factor in, we've already seen, you know, Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt have some success, but they had not yet sort of unleashed him. And to a certain degree, that happened. I mean, they still have a long way to go. He only played 28 snaps, so basically half their snaps. But we saw what he can do. And, like, we have not seen the full version of this offense with Jaden, with Bill, with a healthy Terry, with this new offensive line that's been pretty good the last couple of weeks. And whenever Terry gets back, man, like, this offense could be that, offer more of those big plays that they were looking for last year. So I think to me that was like the biggest takeaway from like a bigger picture perspective. Concerns, I mean, look, the you know, who knows what happens if Quan Martin doesn't force that fumble. The Chargers were on the verge of possibly making it 17-0. There were still, you know, some big plays allowed defensively, but, you know, they were able to make the plays and got the job done. So that's positive, but, you know, you still have to be a little concerned. We have not seen the defensive front have a really good game yet against a team that's got a good offensive line. The Chargers were missing people, as were the, you know, the Giants and the Raiders. So I think that, to me, is still the question. And the, you know, the team they're about to play has been really good protecting their quarterback. So we'll see how all that goes. But, yeah, you got to feel a lot better, obviously, coming out of this Chargers game than it certainly felt like it was going to be after the first quarter.
Mm-hmm. For sure, man. What did you think of Jaden's performance? I mean, to step in like that, first game back, pretty impressive.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the slow start is not something that was just on him. This is something we've been talking about with this team to a degree much of the season. But he, you know, clearly felt more and more in rhythm as the game went along. That last drive, you know, imposed will on the other team. He had a lot to do with that. And then, you know, it's just, look, Marcus Mariota did a heck of a job in relief, and, you know, he can help a team, certainly, but there are just some guys that have that little extra, and when Jaden is making some of the passes that he delivers, you know, the throw to Luke McCaffrey coming right off of the, you know, getting a break from the Chargers to then get that play and throw it down the field, and have, you know, not the guts to do it per se, but like have the willingness to do it, to not just take the check down, you know, in the shadow of your own end zone. I mean, that's what that guy can do. And every time he's on the field, they think they can win. And you can't, you know, PFF and True Media are not going to be able to capture what that means for this franchise. And I think that is something that was just bore out yesterday, and it has been that way since he's been here. So, you know, I think obviously from a pure production standpoint, he's got, you know, knocks maybe some more rust to knock off. And, you know, it hasn't quite looked like he did last year, but at the same point, this was a pretty impressive performance, again, from a smart perspective as well as just a reminder of what he's capable of in the big spots.
When they win, they seem to have dominant performances from the big guys. Do you think those guys can start to, like, stack those instead of being one game, then they're not, then one game, then they're not? Can they put two of those in a row?
Yeah, I mean, I think that to me is, like, if we're going to talk about what the ceiling is for this group, I think that is going to be the key, because the defense has looked really good when they have been able to do that. I mean, this game was, you know, sort of a microcosm of the year. They start off slow. The Chargers are you know, doing various, off out of whack, out of the lanes, all that stuff, reminiscent of what we saw against Green Bay and Atlanta. But then once they got some momentum, they were the team that was able to make plays. So, look, this is a group that's going to have to get by based on energy more than they are pure talent. Having the offense consistently move the ball only helps the defense stay off the field, although in this game the time of possession was still heavily favored towards the Chargers. That's a big question, though, still. I mean, we have not seen them have the defensive front have a good game against an offensive line that's legit. So until that happens, I can't definitively say it will, but there have at least been constant signs, whether it's Javon Kinlaw, Daron Payne, Johnny Newton has been highly efficient, Bobby Wagner. Like, there's reason to be optimistic, but we just haven't quite seen it yet, and that's, I think, the next step for that defensive front.
I tend to agree with you, man. It's when they're good, they're really good, and when they aren't, it's just kind of gone the other way. What do you think? One of the most curious things for me, we're talking with our friend Ben Standig here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Of course, Ben covers Commanders. Check out his Substack and the Last Man Standig podcast. Bill has shown real explosion. He's really good cutting. There's just a lot that Bill does really, really well. And yet, I don't totally trust that he has emerged as the RB1. Like some do. What do you make of Bill kind of taking over?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, in this game, he had 28 snaps, or roughly half the overall offensive snaps, which is not, like, that's not an RB1 number. That was the guy who was leading the way for this group. And I think to some degree, like, this is the next step here, like more of this. Like, he's going to get, you know, dominated touches for most of the game. He got more of the workload, but they still don't want to, I think, overload him. You still want to have Jeremy McNichols out there as a guy who you're going to feel very confident will help you as a blocker, as a pass catcher when needed, just being a smart veteran on the field that, you know, when you need to hammer the ball up the middle, run up the clock, that Chris Rodriguez's strength may be more in line of what you're looking for. But in terms of, like, who's the guy, I think it's, like, this is the guy that they want. I mean, I said this on somebody's podcast earlier today that, you know, I was a big fan of the show Breaking Bad, and one of the themes was about half measures and full measures. You know, it's not just enough to say you want to do something or start to do something. You've got to finish it. They moved on from Brian Robinson in part because they were looking for bigger plays out of the backfield. He was more of a singles doubles hitter, not necessarily a home run threat, and they wanted more of that. Bill is definitely that, but they've been slow playing a little bit because, you know, look, he's a seventh-round rookie, didn't play last year in college. He still has some things to learn, like pass protection. But over time, for this thing to reach its ceiling and for them to go from half measure to full measure, he has to play more and more. And I think that's what we saw this week. I think that's what makes it so exciting for this offense, because they didn't have that guy last year. They had the other pieces. They didn't have him. Plus, they also didn't have Debo. But to get a guy like Bill, I just think could make this thing really special and a lot of fun.
For sure, man. What are you hearing about Terry? I think there's reason for optimism, but we don't yet know for sure.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a reason for optimism, right? He didn't go on IR, let alone have surgery, if that was really up for debate, which means that they think he would be back, you know, within 4 weeks. It's been 2 weeks, so, you know, this is a week where they must have thought, okay, he could be back. He could be back now, you know, so he's gotten the 2 weeks that they've had, you know, they get the extra day for what that's worth. So I think there is some reason to be optimistic, but that's a long way to go. You know, we'll see if he's out there on the field when they start practicing for real, you know, tomorrow, I guess, or we'll see whatever Dan Quinn wants to tell us today in a little bit. But hopefully he can get out there. You know, I know they don't want to, you know, muck it up so that he's like got some lingering issue over the course of the season. That could be more problematic than anything. But at the same time, yeah, I think there's got to be some optimism about him possibly getting back out there this week.
You watch Luke, you watch Jalen Lane get some opportunities. I know Terry being out, you want him to be here. But them getting this level of experience while he's been out, can that be something that helps him down the stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, neither guy has emerged as sort of the de facto number two receiver. I mean, based on snaps, Chris Moore has been that guy, you know, next to or opposite Debo or near Debo in terms of that spot, but he's produced nothing statistically. But he's, you know, a veteran guy, has got speed, can play that X spot. These other two kids, like, they're not natural outside receivers, so they're sort of have to learn that. But ironically, because of the way they're being used, i.e. not tons and tons of snaps, it's kind of going to have be they'll use whenever Terry and Noah Brown are back. Can you make can we get you isolated on a defensive back, scheme up a situation like they did with Luke McCaffrey, where the safeties pull up and now Jaden can throw the ball to the entire left side of the field and allow Luke to run under it. Not only did Luke do that on the 50-yard catch, but he made a fantastic catch on the play. That's the type of play he's going to have to make when Terry comes back, because that's what he'll be getting. Not a lot of volume, but those moments. And then Jalen Lane, you know, he had on the 3rd and 16, gets a 16-yard catch. We know the speed. You know, I think in Atlanta he was on the verge of a pretty big game. It just didn't quite happen. So I think this is definitely a really good experience, but also in ways that they're going to be used whenever McLaurin and Noah Brown come back. I think that's as big, that's as important as anything.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Noah Brown this week. You know what I mean? Because if he can't go this week, it's been 4 weeks, and you wonder kind of what decisions maybe should have been made, and maybe that doesn't matter, right? Like, I'll be very interested to see what happens with Noah. I think getting Terry back on the field would have the biggest impact. What concerns you most about this matchup with the Bears coming to town?
I mean, you know, the Bears offensive line has definitely improved over last year. They went out and, just similar to what Washington did, they went out and added, you know, whereas Washington went out and added tackles, the Bears added interior offensive linemen, and, you know, those vets have helped make Caleb Williams' life a lot easier. I think, honestly, so. I think there's so much intrigue here. Obviously, the two quarterbacks going head-to-head, but, you know, I am sure Ben Johnson wants to make it very clear to everybody paying attention that they didn't lose that playoff game in Detroit last year against Washington because of his play calling. They had over 500 yards of offense. He's not the one who made all those turnovers. And I imagine there's a certain amount of screw you that he's going to come into this with, plus on top of the criticism he faced for ditching them at the interview and all these things. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to work or that it matters. I mean, Dan Quinn and this defense, I'm sure going to be like, hey, this guy, the heck with this guy. We beat them last year. Whatever he thinks is going on, don't worry about it. But I'm sure Ben Johnson is going to have, coming off a bye, has dialed up an extraordinary amount of trick plays or plays to try to fool the defense with some eye candy, whatever it is. I think that's going to be really intriguing, on top of like their interior offensive line against Washington's defensive tackles.
But you know what? He did keep calling the pass plays. He did stop running a guy who was chalking up about 8-9 yards a carry. So yep. He does have some fault, and he's not exempt from it. You know, no, he didn't throw the passes, but hell, when you got somebody running 8 yards a carry, but you insist on tossing, hey, and then now they see that you're not running the ball and you're throwing it, you can become one-dimensional. Any defense can stop you or make plays against you. So,
no, 100%. I mean, he definitely had some fault. I think everybody from the Washington perspective was like, really? No Jahmyr Gibbs again on this play? Sweet. Thank you for that. They don't have a Jahmyr Gibbs guy here, but DeAndre Swift is certainly an effective running back. But, he's not without fault, but he's also arrogant enough to believe he's not without fault. Or that he is, that he is without fault. So we'll see how that plays out.
It's going to be fun, man. Is there any specific the dude that kind of worries me in this is Roma Dunze. Is there anybody that you've got your eye on kind of getting into this matchup?
Well, DJ Moore, and I've not really watched their tape yet to see what's going on, but like DJ Moore, who obviously is a really good receiver. He doesn't even have 200 yards receiving yet on the season, yet this was a guy who, since 2019, I believe his 230-yard performance against Washington on that national TV game in 2023 is the most that any single player has had in a game, which is obviously everything is different with both of these teams in terms of coaching and personnel and all that, but that guy is due for a breakout, it feels like, and the Chargers went for Ladd McConkey last week and tried to get him a breakout game. He had a touchdown, and I would imagine that DJ Moore, in part because of what you just said, Adunze has been the one that's been crushing it. Got to figure DJ Moore's due for something, so I'm a little concerned that maybe that something comes this week.
Isn't that America?
DJ Moore, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
We don't need the Terp doing anything this week.
We just need to let the Terps handle business Saturday and deal with the rest of it.
Tell him go play with them on Saturday, skip the game Sunday.
All right, Benny, we'll see you out here in just a minute, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Always, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, bro.
All right. That is Ben Standig joining us. DJ Moore is a concern. We haven't done it yet this week, but it's time to look around the league. Power rankings, where do the Commanders stack up? Going to hear from Dan Quinn in about a half hour. Going to hear from Joe Beninati previewing the Caps season and season opener tonight. Nobody go anywhere. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. Pick a bet. Bet $5. And if you win, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style. FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season is finally here, and the only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download the FanDuel app today and get started. That's Brian. FanDuel, sponsored with the official partner, 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.